helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. This year, March Madness isn't just for college basketball. It's for the presidential election. We had the Trump ballot access case, a Super Tuesday landslide, and the Biden administration human trafficking revelation. And that's just the first week. If you want to get your mind off all the election madness, we can always talk about the border crisis. Well, hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. I am so glad you could join me today. You know, I guess, what is it? They say misery loves company. Well, I guess a little bit of madness loves company as well, as we are looking at a world that, it's a mad world. Things are just, just when you think things couldn't get any crazier, they do. And of course, a big topic nowadays is the election. As I said, we had the Supreme Court offer their decision on whether or not states could remove a candidate from a ballot for a federal office. And I got to admit, I got some problems with the with that. In fact, I wrote an article. You can find it on AmericaOutloud.news. I talk about the problems I have, not with the result. It's some of the things that were thrown on top of it that, again, when it comes to constitutional principles, doesn't really hold all that much water. Of course, then we had, Trump's been winning pretty much everything in sight on the Republican side. And, I have to admit that Nikki Haley did win a couple races. She did win the District of Columbia, and she did win Vermont, but Trump has been landsliding everywhere else, even with the indictments and criminal charges and the whole nonsense. Now, she did actually pull out. She did say, no, I'm dropping. She saw the fact that she doesn't stand a chance, but, it was kind of crazy. But then again, on the other side, you have, it appears that Joe Biden's biggest competitor for the Democratic nomination is uncommitted. I mean, what was it on? There are some races, something like 20% of the votes cast in one race were for uncommitted. I mean, that's bad. That just shows to the craziness when significant percentages of your party's electorate wants anyone except the one above. Somebody else, please. That's crazy. And that kind of, I believe, describes the election season so far. So now that we're pretty much down to, it's Trump and Biden, we pretty much knew this was coming. I don't know about you, but when it comes to elections, I want three things. I want them to be free. I want them to be free from coercion, free from intimidation, free from corruption. I want them to be fair. I want everybody who has a chance, who can legally vote, to vote. People who have can legally run, be allowed to run. I want everybody to have a chance, and I want them transparent. I want to know that the people who are voting were legally allowed to vote. If you can legally vote, then vote. But we got to make sure that only people who can do so legally can vote, which always brought around a lot of confusion to me when you see people attacking simple ideas to make sure the vote is accurate. A lot of people focus on quantity. How many people can we get to vote? I'm very interested in quality. Are we getting people to vote that can legally vote? Well, take the recent speech. So you had the Kamala Harris and Merrick Garland. They went to Selma, Alabama, right? Because, you can't go, if you're a Democrat and you want to play the race card, you go to Selma, Alabama, even though it was the Democrats that were running Selma during the clash between police and the civil rights protesters. And that's actually why they were there. They wanted to commemorate the 59th anniversary of this clash that was, you know, that happened. It was a famous event, a well-known event. And again, I still find it interesting that the bad guys were the members of the Democratic Party that were holding official office. But here you go. They were there. Merrick Garland, Kamala Harris, and what are they? What was the focus of their talks? Well, I don't know if it was a focus, but there certainly was some interesting discussion. For example, Merrick Garland said,
The right to vote is still under attack, including those related to mail-in voting, the use of drop boxes, and voter ID requirements.
now, I find those statements very interesting. First, the idea that voting rights are still under attack. Who's being denied the right to vote because of the color of their skin or for any reason? It's interesting. He talks about mail-in voting. Voting, by the way, with the highest rejection rate. Back in, was it 2012, I think, the New York Times posted an article. They did a study, and mail-in ballots are rejected twice as often as in-person ballots. So if you're talking about denying a person's right to vote, wouldn't rejecting their ballots more often be part of that? And of course, you've got drop boxes, and the question is, you know, how are drop boxes preventing people? How are saying unguarded, unsecured drop boxes? I mean, we're not talking again. We've seen evidence for 2020 of how drop boxes were abused. See, it's not simply that drop boxes are the problem. The problem is they're not guarded. They're not observed. There's nobody preventing illegal voting from happening at these drop boxes. And the idea that somehow requiring a photo ID, proving that you are the person you say you are, is racist, really just shows how racist these people are. Because what they're saying is effectively, black people are too stupid to get a photo ID. It's too hard, it's too difficult to actually expect a person of color to have an ID. I mean, you need one to get on an airplane. You need one to purchase certain allergy medicines, but you can't be required to have one to vote. What I find interesting is, again, mail-in ballots have the highest rejection rate, and therefore, and by extension, are also easiest to commit fraud. Drop boxes, unguarded drop boxes, make it easier to commit fraud, and no voter ID makes it easier to commit fraud. Appears to me that what Mr. Garland's really trying to push for is the ability of people to illegally vote. Now, listen, nobody likes to lose. They don't. But the problem is, most people don't mind losing in a fair election. Seems to me there's, again, evidence from 2020, evidence from 2022, that there are those who are unwilling to lose and are willing to, well, let's say, hold unfair elections to manipulate the election process, to manipulate the ballot process. And they're quick to accuse others of deviousness and racism when it's really the people who are trying to promote these dangerous ways of voting that are really the ones that are, well, they're the ones that are calling for race discrimination in the in our votes. Or I should say they're racist in how they approach it, because they claim that, well, black people couldn't actually show up and vote like everybody else. Or I should say people of color, because it's not just blacks, it's Hispanics and others. But they seem to want to open things up for illegal voting, to make it easier to illegally vote. When most people I hear and I'm talking to, yeah, some of them want things shut down, but most part, what I hear people say is, we want it free, fair, and transparent. We want everybody who is legally eligible to vote. And of course, that's what Merrick Garland says he's talking about. But if you wanted only people who are eligible to vote, why are you opposed to photo ID? See, that's the part that there's the disconnect that I say drives so many people crazy. Now, there's more to the election. There's actually more to the craziness. And you know, let's face it, I have never understood the logic, the reasoning behind people who care who other people are voting for, especially when those people are celebrities. Lord in heaven, why do I care what some actor believes, who some actor is voting for? These people play make-believe for a living. They play dress-up and make-believe for a living. And if they can make a good living at it, fine. I have no problem with that. What makes you think, I care what you think about who you're voting for? What makes you think I care what you think of policies? You play make-believe for a living. Or maybe you play sports for a living. Or maybe you simply own a sports team. I couldn't believe this when I saw a news article the other day talking about how Mark Cuban voted in the GOP primary. Who he voted for. By the way, he voted for Nikki Haley. He was in the Texas Republican primary. He said he was going to vote for Nikki Haley, or that he voted for Nikki Haley. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care. But more importantly, can you tell me, why do you care? If you care about celebrities, if you care about the endorsements, if you care about the sports celebrities or movie actors, why do you care how they vote? Why are we supposed to listen to you because you play make-believe? Of course, you're really good with a baseball or a football or a hockey puck or a basketball, whatever. Why should we care? See, there's an important point I want to make here. Under the fundamental principles of the Patriots program, the Constitution study, an opinion's only an opinion until there's proof. And an expert opinion is still only an opinion because there's proof. I didn't think I needed to write down a celebrity's opinion is barely an opinion. I mean, yes, they're entitled to their own opinion. Why should anyone think I care? Why should anyone, except maybe a close family member, care who Mark Cuban voted for in the Republican primary? If you have changed your mind on who you're going to vote for, well, now it's pretty much a fait accompli, but if that impacted who you were going to vote for because of who Mark Cuban voted for, explain to me why. See, what this is this playing on celebrity. It's people who will follow celebrity. Ooh, some celebrity said something, so maybe I should do it as well. I'm sorry, that is a pretty lame excuse as to why you should take your choice of who you think should be representing you or representing the states is because somebody else said so. See, then it's not really you voting. You're just a repeater for what somebody else said. It's why when people make grand statements, the first thing you ask is, well, where's your evidence? Show me where you came up with this position. Because on rare occasions, someone comes up with a good answer and it actually changes my mind. It's, oh, okay, there is something to that. Most of the time, people come up with nothing. I'm supposed to simply believe them because they say so. But a lot of the time, what I see are people who believe so because they've been told so. And they've never bothered to double check if what they're being told is true. For me, one of the classic examples is the question of, is the United States a private corporation? And I've had multiple people point to the same expert. She's got books, she's got articles, she's got a website, she's got all this. The only problem is I've looked at her articles and her evidence says exactly the opposite of what she's saying. The evidence she quotes, I should say the evidence she points to doesn't say what she says it says. She points to the Organic Act of 1871, which does not create a corporation for the United States. It creates a municipal corporation for the city of Washington, D.C. Well, if her information is just as flawed, I wonder. Now, again, Mr. Cuban's free to vote for whoever he wants. I really could not care less. But the fact that there are people out there, there may be people out there who are changing their minds, or at least considering changing their minds, because Mark Cuban voted for somebody? See, that's not freedom. You're basically enslaving your mind to, well, this gentleman here. Because he's rich, because he made a name for himself, because he owns the Dallas Mavericks. Why? You see why I call this March Madness. Because if you're making your decisions based on what some businessman who doesn't know you, you don't know him, well, then that is madness. Maybe it's time to turn off the gravity and call this a failed experiment. Because if our decisions are being made by celebrities, I don't know there's even a name for that. Now, listen, I have more I want to get into, but before I do, I have to take a break. Before we go to the break, I want to talk to you about HealRight. They are a new partner here at America Out Loud, and I've had a chance to try some of their products, and it's really pretty cool. They say, according to their research, 87% of Americans have some sort of metabolic dysfunction. And it shows up in things like high cholesterol and blood pressure, high blood sugar, inflammation, weight gain. Well, they've spent 15 years researching, and they have a way to reset your metabolic system without dealing with drugs and medication. It works with essential micronutrients. But here's the cute part. See, unlike anybody else, it's not a pill, it's not a shake, it's not a drink, it's a snack. You get these two little snacks that come in different flavors, and you take them, and that's how you get your nutrients. They're not a meal replacement, but they are a very nice snack. They taste good. I like different flavors. My family likes different flavors, but give it a try. Go to HealRight.com and check out their product. I've tried it. I like it. I'm learning more about it. But do me a favor. Use the promo code OUTLOUD when you check out. So because you listen to America Out Loud, you get 20% off your first purchase. So please go to HealRight.com, check out, read the details, read the studies, read the facts, and then give it a try. I like the lemon blueberry. I like the apple caramel fig. That's really good. But they're a nice snack. They're a healthy snack, and they can help your body restore its natural processes. So please go to HealRight.com. Check them out. Use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, they give you 20% off your first purchase.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms. But left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study, and today we're talking about election madness. Well, actually, we were talking about election madness. I actually want to change subjects a little bit, partially because it will impact the election, at least I would think it would impact the election. And that is the craziness, the insanity, the unbelievable, I don't know what to call it, that is our southern border. Because just when you think you've got a handle, you've got an understanding, it really couldn't get any worse, could it? I mean, this is as bad a stink sandwich as we could possibly have. Then they throw on some stink sauce. It's recently been found out. By the way, this was found out through a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit by the Center for Immigration Studies. I got to give it to you straight. There is a program, I believe it's within the Customs and Border Protection, that, there's no other way to call it. It's human trafficking. It's the Biden administration committing human trafficking. See, what's been found is in this investigation is the Biden administration has secretly flown at least 320,000 illegal aliens. Aliens that, by the way, are by law inadmissible to the United States. And they have flown them to at least 43 different American cities. Ladies and gentlemen, these are men and women that were outside the country. We're not talking about people who crossed the southern border and then got flown around. No. These are people that were outside the country and then were flown courtesy of the American taxpayer by order of an agency under the Biden administration to an American city in violation of I don't know how many laws. Now, listen to this. Anybody remember the CBP One app? You remember the app that was created so that people who were seeking asylum could schedule their events and their hearings and whatnot? Apparently, that was used to import illegally 320,000 aliens. And this program has been around only about a year. See, what they've done is they say, your asylum, well, they've been given parole, humanitarian parole, which basically means, we feel bad for you. Come on in. Don't worry about the law. Well, just come on in. Now, Customs and Border Patrol is actually keeping secret not only the where the people are from, what airports they left from, but the actual cities they were trafficked into. Yes, this is not immigration. This is human trafficking. See, they're afraid that bad actors might get a hold of this information and use it to do bad things. You know, right now, CBP is a bad actor doing bad things with this information. It's about time the American people found out what's been going on. Because if they imported, if they trafficked 320,000 inadmissible aliens in 2023 alone, what are they doing now in 2024? Did their quota go up? Now, how many of you remember the Remain in Mexico policy? That was the policy under the Trump administration that said, listen, if you want to apply for asylum, that's fine, but you have to remain in Mexico until your disposition is decided within the United States. By the way, something I think Biden got rid of the day one of his administration. Well, then this should be called the Bypass Mexico Program, because it's all about, let's not make them go through Mexico. We'll just bypass. We'll fly them right over Mexico at U.S. taxpayer expense into the United States in violation of federal law. Now, remember, you can impeach a president for treason, bribery, high crimes, and misdemeanors. Doesn't this, not only is this a crime, again, we're talking about human trafficking. You're talking about the Biden administration, the American government, inviting people from overseas, people that are legally prohibited from coming to the United States, bypassing them, and not only harboring them, but transporting them into the United States in violation of federal law. Certainly sounds like a crime to me, doesn't it? And then, of course, once they are in the United States, so once they've been flown to a U.S. city, well, CBP quickly releases them, so they're free to go. I'm shocked, but I'm not shocked. I'm shocked by the brazen violation of not just the letter, but the spirit of U.S. law. But I'm not shocked. I think I've run out of shock. I literally think my shock tank is empty. When it comes to what the federal government will do, the crimes the federal government will commit, the damage that the federal government will do, this, I don't know what else to say about it. How far, how low can you go? How far will the government of the United States violate their own laws for what is undoubtedly a political agenda? The agenda of getting more illegal immigrants into the United States. Illegal aliens. I'm sorry, they're not even immigrants. Most of them are aliens. Now, there are those who have been pushing back. And remember, Texas passed a law, SB4, that would make it a state crime to illegally enter Texas from a foreign country, which would allow state law enforcement to arrest and detain those suspected of entering the country illegally and have them literally deport them. Well, I told you, was it last week, I think, about a federal district judge that put a hold on that law. They enjoined the state of Texas from enforcing that law. They said it was unconstitutional. Well, apparently that's changed because a federal appeals court said, yes, the Texas immigration law can take effect. Now, the circuit court didn't actually opine against the case. They simply put a stay on the district court's injunction. So they can't enforce the injunction until the circuit court has had a chance at it. Now, again, so this is not done, but there's another twist, a little bit more to the madness. Because, of course, the Biden administration has been fighting Texas, which has been fighting the Biden administration, to actually enforce federal law. The Biden administration refuses. They say they can't. That's a bald-faced lie. They refuse to enforce federal law. Presidents before them had no problem enforcing it. They've got no reason why they can't enforce it. So Texas got fed up and said, well, fine, then we'll enforce it ourselves. And of course, you had the river barrier, and you had the container wall. And of course, then you had, was it the Eagle Pass, where basically the state said, federal government, you're not wanted here anymore. Go away. We'll enforce this border. Now you had the law, and then you've got the court opinions. It's a crazy mess. And the sad part is, it's crazy. Well, it's crazy for a couple of reasons. Crazy because the states elected a president that refuses to enforce federal law, basically to violate his oath of office, where he which included to faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States, which includes from the Constitution, Article 2, saying that he will ensure that the laws are faithfully executed. He hasn't. And because he hasn't, and because while he hasn't, well, the American people, the states, the counties, they've whined and complained, but they haven't really done anything about President Biden's dereliction of duty, about the violation of his oath of office, about the laws that he broke. Yes, laws. And if you break laws that are criminal codes, that means you've committed crimes. And if you've done so while under oath as president, well, that's pretty much a high crime. But they've refused to do anything, primarily for political reasons. And I don't agree with it, but I understand that. But we're in this mess in large part because the American people have chosen representatives that have not done the job, the Constitution requires them to do. That includes members of the House and Senate. That includes the presidential electors. That made, you know, we made a horrible choice for president. That includes county and state. And I don't know how else to put this, but so far, one and only one state has shown the spine to actually stand up and say, wait a second, if you're not going to enforce these laws, we're going to protect our citizens. If you're not going to protect us from this invasion level people coming in, the cartels, the foreign nationals, nationals from countries that have declared war against us. If you're not going to do anything, we will. And as soon as they did, rather than just saying, fine, you do it, the Biden administration, their DOJ, their CBP, actively went after the one state that stood up for its citizens. Now, other states have offered help, right? They've offered to send National Guard to help and all that. But so far, only one state has stood up and said, no. Where are the rest of them? There are 49 other states out there. It's all well and good to send guards. It's quite a different thing to say, no, some of the governors have said, yes, we stand behind Governor Abbott. Well, that's just it. You're standing behind him. You're letting him take the slings and arrows and the attacks. What are you doing to support him? What are the American people in the other 49 states doing? How are they communicating with their state elected representatives going, what are you doing? We've got one state that's standing up to this tyranny. What are you doing about it? Some states have done some small things, right? You have they've got their own guard acts, and they've got the attempts to nullify unconstitutional federal actions within their states. But that's a lot of talk. I'm kind of curious to see the action. I don't want this to devolve into another civil war. But the only way that happens is if the American people, if the states, if other states join in so that The few states that are standing up on little things, they aren't standing alone. There's people with them. And if the American people, in a loud voice, tell Washington, D.C., enough. This is not acceptable anymore. We're not playing games. We're not going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to protect Ukraine's borders while we refuse to protect our own. We're not going to allow human traffickers in the White House to tell us we can't enforce the law. You got to remember, the government works for us, not the other way around. The Constitution of most of our states say all power is inherent in the people, that we delegate it to government. The 10th Amendment says the power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution. Are there the rest? The ones that aren't delegated belong to the states, to the people. We need to do this. Maybe it's scary. Maybe it's not as scary as you think it is. But what should be scary is what happens if we don't. What are the consequences of not putting Washington, D.C. within its limited and enumerated powers? Well, they're pretty evil. We've seen them throughout history. And I really shouldn't need to remind you. But I think if you take a look at just a little bit of history, you'll see, you know what? It is not safe to be in a country with an out-of-control central government and nobody placing the brakes on what they're doing. Now, I have to take another break. Before I go, I want to remind you, you should join me every day at AmericaOutloud.news looking for news and information. But I'm going to ask you to do something. I keep saying, knowledge is not power until put into action. So I'm going to ask you to do something. Find a story, find an article, find a podcast, find a video that says something special to you, a new idea, or just explains an old idea better than you ever have heard before. And then take it and share it. See, it's the act of sharing that'll help us all secure the blessings of liberty.
When God, through His grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Clean, pure, with premium ingredients, Global Healing's pure plant protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop. And it's a perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with pure plant protein. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code out loud for 25% off.
Welcome back, Everyday American, to rejoin the Constitution study. And today, well, we started out with a lot of election madness. We kind of rolled into the border madness because that's going to have a big impact, I'm pretty sure, on the election this November. I want to look somewhere else. And in fact, we're going to head down to Florida. Because of Florida, Governor DeSantis, he's been getting a lot of praises for a lot of what he's done. But, he recently ran into a stumbling block. See, the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals upheld a district court ruling that blocked portions of the Stop Woke Act. At least that's what they were calling it. Now, the law, the Stop Woke Act, required banned businesses from requiring their employees to participate in workplace diversity training, promoting equity, diversion, and inclusion. And they did so in state law. Now, again, I've pointed out that there were certain issues in here, and this is kind of what both the district and circuit court pointed at, and although they did it wrong. Right? The problem is, these are private companies. What does the state of Florida have to do with the requirements for training in a private business? I know this is people who say, you know, well, the Democrats are trying to kill us with this DEI, with this DIE, and they're forcing it down our throats. Well, you just had an example. This is an example of a Republican doing the exact opposite, saying you can't require training on this. It's very dangerous to allow government to tell businesses what they can and cannot do. The judge in this case said that by limiting its restrictions to a list of ideas designated as offensive, the act targets speech based on its content, and by barring only speech that endorses any of those ideas, it penalizes certain viewpoints, the greatest First Amendment sin. Okay, the Stop Woke Act is not a violation of the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. Why? Because the first five words of that amendment are, Congress shall make no law. Congress did not make this law. Congress had nothing to do with this law. So it cannot be a First Amendment violation. So the judges got it wrong. Where the federal judges should have said, it says it's a violation of the 14th Amendment because you have a state creating a law that deprives a business owner of the liberty to have certain requirements for their employees, and you did so without due process of law. See, we don't think along those lines. We've been brainwashed into the idea that everything we can needs to be a First Amendment issue. No, it's not a First Amendment issue. It's a 14th Amendment issue. Now, this may also violate, probably does violate Florida's law, Florida's constitution, but that's not an issue for the federal court. That's an issue for the state court. Now, Governor DeSantis said, no one should be instructed to feel as if they are not equal or shamed because of their race. In Florida, we will not let the far-left woke agenda take over our schools and workplaces. There's no place for indoctrination or discrimination in Florida. But yet that's exactly what he's trying to do, only it's not the woke agenda, it's the anti-woke agenda. Now, again, I have no problem with a state law that says public entities, state and local public entities, cannot require this type of training. That is absolutely legal. That's absolutely constitutional. But when you tell a private company what they can and cannot include, now, again, I find the whole woke agenda, this whole DIE, I know they say DEI, I like the acronym DIE better, you know, this whole get woke, go broke, I find it absolutely offensive. I find it horrendous. But the point is, I don't have the right to tell a business that you can't train based on it. And if I can't do it, I can't have my actors in government, my representatives, those exercising my sovereign power by my will in my name to them, I can't allow them to do it. If I can't do it personally, I can't ask the government to do it for me. They are a representative of the power of the people. So, you know, this when I look at it going, you know, I'm kind of sad because, again, the DEI agenda is not getting a good slap in the face, which it truly deserves. But I can't disagree with the reason why. Because what you're talking about is state-controlled private actions. It is state-controlled private actions. And it's, you know, it's not simply speech, right? It's you're saying you can't say this, that's a, you know, the state is depriving these businesses of a freedom of speech, of the liberty they have in control of their property. Of course, it's not the First Amendment, because the speech is not a First Amendment issue, because Congress shall make no law. But this is what happens. This is why, from my standpoint, a pox on both their houses. Because the very same government that can say, we will not allow companies to have woke indoctrinations, can also turn around and say, well, we're not going to allow them to have, to require, oh, I don't know, citizenship tests. I mean, I'm sure Governor DeSantis would not have a problem with he would have a problem if the state were to say, well, you cannot have anti-discrimination training. Well, they only really want you to stop critical race theory-based training, but what if it was not critical race theory? Oh, you're not allowed to teach about that because, well, that's going to offend somebody else. You see why you have to be careful before we go delving into these. Imagine this. Just imagine that you were to take the power to determine what businesses can use in their training, and give it to your worst political enemy. And imagine what it would be like in the hands of your worst political enemy. And if you don't like that idea, then you shouldn't have it for the people you support the most. Now, one other thing I want to look at before we call it a day today, and that is the journalist who was, he was told to turn himself into the FBI. They had an arrest warrant that they refused to tell him what was in the warrant until he turned himself in. They only said that it was misdemeanors. They were not planning on holding him. Well, he was on the Glenn Beck show. He works for Blaze. He's a journalist for Blaze Media. Not a surprise. But listen to how he described his experience.
Very first thing out asked how do you feel, yeah. And you said humiliated.
Right.
Why?
I thought I was mentally and emotionally prepared for this because I've followed too many of these cases to not have been. I've seen too many of these guys, even misdemeanor defendants, even misdemeanor independent journalists, marched before a magistrate in leg chains and the orange jumpsuit. So I thought I was ready for it until they put the leg chains on. And I've never even been fingerprinted for anything in my life. And to actually, in the moment that it was happening, it was overwhelming. And then on top of being chained at your waist and your legs, then they put you in a cage with a meth dealer.
It is what I expected. You know, we'll hear this in a second, but you're talking about a misdemeanor defendant. Someone's been cooperative, and to be treated in such a humiliating way, to be chained and placed in a cage with a meth dealer. Tell me this was not an attempt to humiliate and intimidate this journalist, and by extension, other journalists. Listen to a little bit more.
And of course, Lee can speak to this better than I can, but the process of putting a nonviolent misdemeanor defendant who has been utterly and totally cooperative since the very first phone call from the FBI over 2.5 years ago, it could have been just an order to appear. I could have walked in with Lee, both of us with our jackets and ties on. We could have sat in the gallery. They call us up. We stand before, just as they did for a felony defendant that day. but I'm guarded by U.S. Marshals with leg chains on.
Not only is this humiliating for the journalist, for Mr. Baker, but it's not only is it meant, I believe, as a message, not only to him, but to other journalists. How dare you show us up? But it's also a show. See, we see with our eyes, and that first impression tells you something. You see a man walking in with his lawyer, they're in suits, they're in ties, they're a cooperative, that's a certain mindset. You see somebody walk handcuffed at the waist, leg chains, shuffling in, that's a whole different statement you are making to the judge and to any potential future jury. Now, Mr. Beck is going to direct a question to Mr. Baker's attorney.
So how many misdemeanors, Lee, have you done where they're in leg chains? How many times do you see that?
In a case like this, almost never. I've got clients right now that are charged with felony drug cases that we are negotiating with the DOJ for voluntary turn-ins. There's an active warrant on one that I was speaking with this morning, and the DOJ is working with us to do a voluntary turn-in to a magistrate. We'll do a same-day hearing. She'll process through pretrial services and be out. No leg chains, nothing. This was determined by the DOJ in Washington. They had us turn Steve into the FBI at their headquarters, 7 a.m., walked him through, processed him, put him in leg chains and a waist chain, handcuffs to his waist, and then took him directly to the marshals down at the Cabell Building here in Dallas.
Now, I wonder, if this is so unprecedented, why could it possibly be that the Department of Justice is so adamant in this play, in this theater around Mr. Baker? Well, of course, I'm being sarcastic. It's a rhetorical question. The answer is obvious.
Yeah, no, I don't remember anybody in leg chains and irons for BLM setting cities on fire.
No, in fact, most of those were just catch and release if they bothered to catch at all. In fact, most of them had their cases dismissed, and then many of them have been awarded cash payouts from the government because they were, you know, unfairly arrested or prosecuted, because obviously we had to understand what their frustrations and what, you know, made them burn a building down.
You know, the interview goes on, and I'll put a link in the show notes when they post with the podcast. But the idea of equal protection under the law, you know, the 14th Amendment guarantees that states provide equal protection under the law. It was supposed to happen at the federal government too, but there's no actual language in the Constitution. But that would be one of the rights under the 9th Amendment. You have a right to equal protection under the law, and this is not it. This is politics. You burn down buildings, we got to understand and let you go. You criticize law enforcement, federal law enforcement, you must be humiliated. We must destroy you. Or what was it? It was a Khrushchev that stood up at the UN saying, "We will bury you." Well, that appears to be the way our attorney general thinks. He is the head of the Department of Justice. We will bury you. I mean, you might as well just put a hammer and sickle on the man and play the Soviet national anthem. This is disgusting. This is the type of thing that other people need to stand up and say, wait a second, what the heck is going on here? Now, Mr. Baker is not alone. He's got a good attorney. But you know what? I bet Mr. Baker could use some support, some emotional support. I don't know about financial support, but I think he could use people standing up and saying, this is wrong. This is not the United States. This is not the land of the free when you get treated like a, when you get treated worse than a drug dealer, when you are locked up like a drug dealer for simply reporting on a news item, you get locked up. Now, there's probably less proof that that there's part of this is that he's pointing out the failures of certain federal law enforcement. But for misdemeanors, for little more than trespass charges, well, all right, they've got the a public building, but there's a problem with even those, right? Because you're dealing with, these are public buildings. They are owned by the government. The government holds them in trust for we the people. It's public. The Capitol is just as public as a park. But we see we don't treat them that way. We let the government tell us that's not the way it works. So maybe reach out. By the way, Mr. Baker, if you hear about this, you are welcome to come to the Constitution study and speak all that you want. Let us know what's going on. You've got an attorney. I'd be more than happy to throw my 2 cents in. I'm not a lawyer. I don't charge for what I do, but I'd want to make sure that you get the best defense you possibly could. And I'd love to see the people that did this to you face the justice that they truly deserve. Now, if you want to follow more with what's going on, I hope you continue to join us here at the Constitution Study. We're on America Out Loud Talk Radio on the iHeartRadio Network every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. If you can't listen then, all the episodes go to podcast, generally a day or two after they're heard on talk radio. Listen in your favorite podcast app, but do me a favor, subscribe to the show. Leave the episodes ratings and reviews, especially on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find the Constitution Study, let them see and hear what's going on. You see, the knowledge we provide here, I believe, is critical if we are to remain the land of the free. But we will only do so if we are brave enough to do something. To take those links from the homepage at America Out Loud and not only acquire the knowledge, but do something with it. Share those links, share the episodes, share the knowledge, and then use it to help your fellow man. That is when knowledge gets turned into power. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how we share more than just a radio program, more than just a movement. It's how we share the blessings of liberty if we are brave enough to remain the land of the free.